When all hope seems to be lost, Pastor John Randall says you can find hope and purpose in Christ.
Listen, friends, right now in our country, there has been a spike. Although the curve has been flattened in a particular virus that we're facing, there has been a spike in suicide. 800%, it's gone up. People are wondering, is there a purpose for my life? And if you're here today and you're wondering whether God has a purpose for your life, or you've thought in this season about just ending it all or no reason to live, listen to me carefully. God has a reason for your existence. There is a purpose for your life. He loves you. You are created for a purpose. He loves you. Don't miss that purpose.
It's time for a daily walk with Pastor John Randall. Glad to have you on board with us as we continue a new series, Courage is Contagious. Today, John is going to recall a period of time when the nation of Israel was dramatically delivered from their enemy. Fear was overcome with faith in God's promise. And you know, the same holds true today for the situation we find ourselves in. God can deliver us and make a way where there seems to be no way. Let's be encouraged by that as we turn to Exodus chapter 14.
If you have your Bibles, if you'd open with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 14. And I'd like to draw your attention to verse 13 with a message entitled, God Has Made a Way. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 13 this morning, if you'd follow along with me. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall not see again forevermore. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." The Bible records a season when the nation of Israel, which only consisted of Jacob and his 70 descendants, who encountered a severe famine, and it forced them to go to Egypt to be provided for by Jacob's long-lost son, Joseph, who God had raised up to be second in command to Pharaoh. And because of his position, Joseph was able to save his extended family from starvation in the midst of a global crisis and preserve the future generations of the nation of Israel. And from that time forward, Israel had a population explosion. The numbers given to us in Scripture reveal that their population doubled every 25 years. Yet after Joseph had died and the nation of Israel continued to expand, the memory of Joseph and how he had saved the known world from the famine faded. And a new pharaoh of Egypt took the throne, and he began to observe the numerical growth of the Israelites, and he was fearful. If given freedom and opportunity, they might seek to overthrow Egypt. And so he sought to control them. He oppressed them and made them his slaves. He afflicted them with burdens. He forced them to serve. He made their lives miserable with bondage. Yet the Bible says that the more that the enemy afflicted them, the stronger they became. The plan of the Pharaoh backfired and the people flourished. Seeing that the affliction wasn't weakening the nation, Pharaoh put forth a new agenda, and that was to put to death any male children that were born. By committing infanticide, he removed all the male children and spared only the female children, hoping that the nation of Israel would cease to exist and be absorbed in the midst of Egypt. If he was successful, the eventual Messiah, the Savior of the world, would have never been born. This was a satanic attack to destroy human life and eventual salvation. Thankfully, there was an organization of midwives that feared God, and they were unwilling to follow the orders of the Pharaoh. And they sought to protect the lives of the unborn children, and God blessed them. In the midst of this ongoing slavery, the nation of Israel began to cry out to God for a deliverer. They longed for freedom and to be able to go to the land of promise that God had for them. In time, Israel's prayers were answered. A deliverer was born whose name was Moses. Born into a Hebrew family, but raised by Pharaoh's daughter, Moses grew up in the courts of royalty. Scripture says that Moses was educated in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians, and that he was mighty in word and in deed. But after his 40th birthday, it came into his heart to visit his people, to see the struggles that they were enduring. And during that tour, he saw what slavery actually looked like. He heard the sound of the taskmaster's whip. He observed the burdens of bondage. It was then that Moses made a life-changing decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And not fearing the wrath of the king, he forsook Egypt, and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. In his zeal to see his people delivered from their oppression and injustice, Moses made a mistake when he attempted to deliver the people in his own strength, and he ended up taking the life of an Egyptian taskmaster who was beating one of the Jewish slaves. When his crime was discovered, Moses became a fugitive, and he was exiled in the desert region of Horeb for the next 40 years of his life. Yet unbeknownst to Moses, God was preparing him to lead the people out of bondage. Now, at 80 years old, with the dream of being a deliverer long behind him in the past, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he gave him instructions about what seemed to Moses to be an impossible mission: to go to Egypt and to deliver the nation of Israel from slavery and then to lead them to the promised land. In response to the call of God, Moses listed all of the reasons why the Lord should send someone else. The Lord countered every excuse that Moses made, but Moses pointed out he had nothing to say. The Lord responded, "I'll give you something to say." Moses said, "Well, what if the people don't listen to me?" The Lord said, "They will listen to you." Moses said, "Well, I don't know how to speak." And the Lord said, "I made your mouth." Moses said, "Send someone else." The Lord said, "Aaron, your brother, will go with you." Moses said, "I have no weapons to fight with." God said, "I'll give you a stick and my presence." Every excuse that Moses made, God countered with reasons for him to have faith and courage and to trust in God. Seeing that the Lord would not take no for an answer, Moses, along with his brother Aaron, journeyed to Egypt to confront the Pharaoh. And when they arrived, they first met with the leaders of Israel, and initially they were very optimistic and enthusiastic about the prospect of being delivered from slavery. After all of these years, God had actually heard their prayers. But then it came time to stand before the Pharaoh. Now, the Lord had already revealed to Moses in advance the Pharaoh was not going to listen nor let the people go. But Moses presented his request for the people's freedom. The Pharaoh forcefully rejected the request, dismissed Moses from his presence. And then he actually increased his demands upon the slaves and made them work twice as hard. Then the leaders that Moses met with from Israel, who had welcomed him and even applauded him, now accused him of trying to make their lives more miserable. The Bible then records that Moses had a private meeting with the Lord. And he said to the Lord, "Why? Why did you bring me to Egypt? This is exactly what I told you at the burning bush. This is why I didn't want to come down here to begin with. This is exactly what I said would happen, and it happened." And then the Lord spoke to his discouraged leader. And this is what he said: "Now you will see what I will do." Now you're about to see what God's gonna do. Now you're gonna see how God is gonna make a way. You've done everything you could do. You've attempted to fulfill every obligation. You've tried your best. God says, "Let me step in and watch what's about to happen." The further reassurance of the nation's deliverance, the Lord gave to Moses seven separate promises that started with the words, I will. God says, this is what I will do. I will bring them out. I will rescue them from their bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land, and I will give it to you as a heritage. God made a guarantee. God made a promise. This is what I'm going to do. In other words, the deliverance of the nation wouldn't come through Moses. It would come through God. It was God's power. It was God's plan. It was God's strength and his might that would redeem Israel from their bondage. And then God lowered the boom. And he began to gradually loosen the grip of the Pharaoh on his people through a series of 10 devastating plagues, one after another. And the purpose of the plagues that came upon Egypt was twofold. First of all, the plagues were sent to break the hold of the Egyptians over the nation of Israel and to deliver them from slavery. But the second reason for the plagues was to prove that there is only one true God. The Egyptians, they worshiped many false gods, multiple false deities and idols. And every plague that was sent upon the Egyptians correlated with one of the gods that they worshiped, which were unable to defend them. After each plague, Bible says that the Pharaoh hardened his heart. And once the 10th plague hit, the Pharaoh was broken. He could no longer endure. He could no longer take the pressure. He even lost his own firstborn son. And so he commanded that Moses and the nation of Israel leave immediately. No longer quarantined in Egypt, they quickly gathered their essential belongings that God had told them to take, and they made their mass exodus out of Egypt. And for the first time, the people were free. The Lord then led his people out of Egypt with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Yet the route that the Lord selected for them to travel, it was different than what they would have expected. The shortest and most convenient route would have been to travel through the land of the Philistines. Oh, but the Lord knew that if the people saw the sight of war in Philistine territory, they would immediately turn back to Egypt. So instead, the Lord led them on a circuitous route. He led them around the way of the wilderness, and he placed them in between two mountain ranges on either side with the Red Sea in front of them. And although the nation of Israel didn't understand it at the time, this was all part of God's plan. Listen, friend, perhaps today the Lord is leading you and you're not completely clear on the direction or why you ended up where you are or why it is that you're going through what you're going through, but you can rest assured in this fact that God is seeking for you to follow his leading. This is part of God's plan for your life. If you are seeking God, if you are wanting to follow God, then where you're at right now is right where God is meant for you to be. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And you might question, why am I here? God says, there's a reason for your existence. There's a reason why I created you. There's a reason you're alive. Listen, friends, right now in our country, there has been a spike, although the curve has been flattened in a particular virus that we're facing. There has been a spike in suicide. 800%, it's gone up. People are wondering, is there a purpose for my life? And if you're here today and you're wondering whether God has a purpose for your life, or you've thought in this season about just ending it all or no reason to live, listen to me carefully. God has a reason for your existence. There is a purpose for your life. He loves you. You are created for a purpose. He loves you. Don't miss that purpose. Listen, recently, the church community and the world lost a powerful voice in the person of Ravi Zacharias. He went home to be with the Lord after his fight with cancer. But did you know that Ravi Zacharias, before he became the man that he was, that he attempted to commit suicide? He tried to end his life. And it was there in that hospital bed where he almost lost his life that God met him and he turned his life over to Jesus and he impacted generations. What would have happened if Satan's plan had come to pass, he would have missed all that God wanted to do. And friend, you don't want to miss anything that God wants to do in and through your life. There is a purpose for you being here. Pharaoh, grieving over the devastation of his nation, he received intel of Israel's new location, and filled with a hardened heart and owner's remorse, he decided to pursue his former slaves and bring them back. He gathered an army that included 600 chariots. And as they pursued Israel through the desert, the Egyptians eventually caught up with the Israelites as they were at their campsite by the sea. Pharaoh immediately observed Israel was at a military disadvantage. They had mountain ranges on either side, the sea in front of them. This was too good to be true. Israel was trapped with nowhere to go. The Pharaoh would have his revenge, and so he prepared to attack and bring the people back under bondage. The Israelites lifted up their eyes, and they saw the dust of the chariots in the distance. They felt the movement of the ground from the hooves of the horses, and they panicked, and they were overcome with fear. And as fear took hold of their hearts, it quickly choked out their faith. They began to accuse the Lord. They began to accuse Moses of leading them to their death. Their anxiety catapulted them into irrational thoughts. They said it would have been better if we just remained in bondage and been slaves than to die in the desert. What would they do? They had nowhere to go. They weren't strong enough to fight. They weren't fast enough to run. They were, in essence, defenseless. God had brought the nation to this difficult place of uncertainty in order that they would look to him for deliverance. Friends, God has brought this nation and the world to a place where we must look to him. Would you agree with that today? And perhaps this morning, like the Israelites, you are overcome with fear. You don't see any hope. Friend, God has brought you here today to this place in your life, to this parking lot. This morning, this is a divine appointment. And you must look to him for deliverance, for salvation. God is able to do what you cannot do. In fact, God has done already what we were incapable of doing when he made a way for us for salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. It was at this critical moment, in the midst of panic, in the midst of fear and chaos, that Moses stood up, and this is what he said to the people. We read it this morning. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and he will accomplish for you today. First thing Moses said, don't be afraid. You only say don't be afraid to people who are afraid. They were in fear. But Moses said, stop, don't be afraid. It's amazing that these people had just observed God supernaturally and miraculously delivering them through the plagues, but it's as if they had forgotten what God had done in the past and they were overwhelmed with fear in the present. How quickly we forget the faithfulness of God in the midst of uncertainty. Do not be afraid. Second thing Moses says, stand still. You only tell people to stand still who keep moving around. Moses said, stop what you're doing. Stop moving. Stop leaning on your own understanding. It doesn't make sense to you logically, and many of God's ways so often defy human logic and reasoning. Stop fretting. Stop running around. Pause. Sit still and listen closely to what God's going to say and watch what God's going to do. Be still, the Bible says, and know that I am God. Thirdly, Moses said, see the salvation of the Lord. Open your eyes of faith and see what the Lord is going to do. God is going to fight this battle for you. He's going to take care of the enemy that's pursuing you. You be at peace. You hang in there and you watch what's about to happen. Again, maybe right now, you're in a difficult situation. Your back's against the wall. You're not sure where to turn. It's like you have a mountain on one side and a mountain on the other side and the Red Sea's in front of you and you don't know where to go. You say, what do I do? Here's what you do. You stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Do not fear. God's going to fight your battle, friend. Although Moses was a strong and courageous leader and given the people a good word of exhortation in public, the Bible records at this moment, Moses went to the Lord privately and had another conversation with him. Moses goes back to the Lord and he cries out to God and says, all right, now what? What are we supposed to do now? I got men, women, and children here. I got an army bearing down on us. The sea's behind us. What do you want me to do? And the Lord speaks to Moses, and he says in verse 15, the Lord said, why do you cry out to me? tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow them. Now think about this, folks. Just follow this. Moses cries out to God, and the Lord says, why do you cry out to me? And then the Lord says, go forward, not backward. Don't go backward, go forward. You can't stay in the spot that you're in. You have to continue to move forward. The Lord was calling them into the impossible, calling them into what was unknown to them, but fully known to God. And God said, go. What part of go do you not understand? God said, go forward. The church wasn't built, friends, to go backward. We were made to be people of faith to go forward. The Lord then instructs Moses to do something that was impossible, to do something that would take faith. Here's what he said. Lift up your rod, that stick in your hand, lift it up, and then stretch out your hand and then divide the sea. That's impossible. How could you do that? When I read this, honestly, I couldn't help but think, did Moses hesitate when he heard that? Did he say, God, did I hear what I think I heard you say? Lift up a stick, put out my hand, and the water's gonna divide from here to Catalina? Really? And we're all gonna drive over on dry ground? Really? That's what you're asking me to do? That's impossible. Moses had to trust in God. God didn't part the water and then say, lift up your rod. Moses had to take God at his word, and God promised to part the sea. You do what I've asked you to do, and I'll do my part. What does God ask you to do right now that you can't see how it can be done? Is there anything that the Lord's calling you to? Asking you to trust him? It's impossible. You do what you can and what God's commanded you to do, and then you trust the Lord with the rest, and he will do what he promised. Well, sure enough, Moses obeys the command of the Lord, and the Red Sea parts. The people cross over safely to the other side, and their enemies, just like God said, pursued them. The waters receded, and their enemies were drowned in the sea. Folks, listen. Listen carefully as we wrap this up. God made a way where there wasn't a way. God did what only God could do. Fear was overcome by faith in God's promise. And just like it, amen, fear was overcome by faith. And just like God made a way for the nation of Israel to be delivered from the enemy that was bent on their destruction, friend, God has made a way for your deliverance today. God has made a way for your salvation. Here's the lessons. Here's the lessons. The enemy is in pursuit of your life, just like the Egyptians were in pursuit of the children of Israel. And the enemy of your soul is bent on one desire, and that is to destroy your life and the people around you. He doesn't want you to come to Jesus for salvation. He'd like you to believe that you're good enough on your own, that you're a good enough person by yourself, that you can get to heaven any way you want. But we're all sinners, the Bible says. We all need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came and died upon the cross and shed his blood for our sin and then rose again from the dead. I also want you to see from this story, did you understand there was only one way of deliverance? Not one of many ways. It wasn't like, take your pick. If you want to climb this mountain, you'll be fine. Or you could climb this mountain and go that way, or you could fight against the Egyptians. No, there was one way of deliverance and salvation for the people, and that was through the Red Sea. Friends, today, Jesus is our only hope for deliverance and salvation.
That bears repeating. Jesus is our only hope for deliverance and salvation, so turn to him in faith. This is A Daily Walk, and today we've been looking at Exodus chapter 14 with Pastor John Randall. Isn't it neat to see how Bible stories like Israel's deliverance from their enemy relate so powerfully to what we're going through today? Maybe you'd like to secure a CD copy of the study called God Has Made a Way. It's available for the cost of $5. Call us at 877-242-0828. If you haven't already, download our free app so you can listen to A Daily Walk on your handheld devices. I should also mention we're on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV. Search for CCSJC. Another featured resource is the very cool t-shirt that portrays the message we want to get across through this present series, Courage is Contagious. It'll help remind you and those around you to be courageous for Christ. It's only $15, and you can order it online at adailywalk.org. You can order by phone at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. And if you believe in what we're doing at A Daily Walk, one way you can show your support is through a financial gift. We know these are challenging financial times for many of you, but as you're able, please prayerfully consider sending in a gift to help us continue on your station. You can do so online at adailywalk.org. Remember, friend, God has a purpose for your life, and fear can be overcome with faith in God's promise. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Join us next time for A Daily Walk when Pastor John Rendell shares another encouraging message from his series, Courage is Contagious. He'll be in 1 Samuel 17, pointing out the battle we find ourselves in is the Lord's.